Welcome to Real Talk with your host, Brad Maskey, where he talks all things real estate.
Real Talk is sponsored by Realty Stars, California Department of Real Estate, license number 00903526. Real Talk is a Brad Maskey production. This is Brad Maskey, and you are listening to Real Talk. Real Talk is the right side of real estate, where we talk all things real estate. Good afternoon, California comrades. Welcome to today's Real Talk. On Real Talk, we do talk all things real estate and public policy and how public policy affects you and your real estate. In today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about interest rates, about whether now is the time to refinance. We're going to talk about whether the high-speed rail is finally dead and what will happen to it if it does die. And how about those Zillow flips you've been hearing about, the internet company that was buying properties all over the U.S. so that they could resell them at a property at a profit, and they have suddenly stopped doing that, as well as what's going on with real estate values and this inflation. Now, if you thought it was crazy when Trump was president, at least we had a good economy. And I want you to think for just a minute that for 1 year of Corona, while the entire United States was shut down, that's right, California for sure, comrades, and we'll talk about what Newsom just did last week in terms of keeping us shut down, but at least we didn't have supply chain issues. But now we have supply chain issues now that Biden is president and he's blaming it on coronavirus, but we've opened the country back up because, of course, everything that's going wrong was Trump's fault. That's why they had to undo everything. Those of you that listen to my show on a regular basis know that I always start out with my rant, and my rant is about what a socialist country is and why California are comrades, because we have an all-controlling government. And I also believe that socialism is satanic. I believe that there's a battle between good and evil, and that the socialists are definitely evil. Oh, they'll try to tell you that they're the giving ones, they're the ones that want to help the poor, they're the ones that want to help everyone, and that it's the evil, greedy capitalists that want to hurt everyone. And in fact, they will tell you that they're the Jesus-like ones. Look at their love for the poor, look at the things they'll do for everyone, and they blame everybody else for what goes wrong. But we know that socialism is not a loving society. Socialism creates haves and it creates have-nots. Socialism is a lens where the leaders call themselves leaders and they say, look at me, let me tell you what to do. But don't do what I do, do as I say. That's what socialism is. That's what California is becoming, and that's what the United States is becoming under a Biden administration. Now, of course, I call him Resident Biden because, as you know, Resident Biden is barely there. He's a feeble old man, and I don't hold that against him, but he should not have been president. There's no reason he should have been elected except for a hatred of President Trump by a lot of the country, but not the majority of the country. Just the people that were in control hated that they could not control President Trump. But I digress. So what's going on this week that's strange in the news? Of course, we'll talk about the good thing, which was Veterans Day on Thursday, a fantastic day to remember the people who fought for our country, who fought for our freedoms, who fought for our Constitution. And I think a lot of those veterans wouldn't recognize what we're trying to make out of America today, nor do I think they would have wanted to fight for a country in which there were haves and have-nots, in which a political party could attack their political enemies using the FBI and using the police and using the press as their weapon to go after anyone who disagreed with them. And that's what we're seeing happen. I think the Kyle Rittenhouse trial was one of those instances that would make everyone see how polarized we are. If you listen to just one side of the story, if you listen to the side of the story of the left, for some reason they decided that this 17-year-old kid is a bad guy. Why they think he's a bad guy, I don't know. What did he symbolize that the president, I mean Resident Biden, would call him a white supremacist? And by the way, everyone knows he's a lousy white supremacist because he killed three white guys, or killed two white guys and shot another white guy. But for the president to call him a white supremacist, what made the left paint him that way? And I read stories and comments about this story as it goes on, as this trial goes on, where people say he should be hung. They shouldn't even try him. They should just put him in jail forever and throw away the key. Things to that effect, that this 17-year-old kid who's now 18 had no right to, as they say, bring a gun across state lines to go to a riot to see if he could cause trouble. But they don't do any research about what really happened. They don't watch the video about what was going on. And they certainly didn't research at all the life of Kyle Rittenhouse. I did some research because I wanted to know, what's this trial all about? So first of all, Kyle Rittenhouse did not illegally have a rifle. You can call it an AR-15. It's not an AR-15. It was a rifle that could shoot multiple bullets. And of course, to the press, everything that shoots multiple bullets and looks like a rifle is an AR-15. Of course, that's not what happened. He didn't bring it across state lines. He didn't have it illegally. He legally possessed it. That's why he's not charged with illegal possession of it. And everyone starts with, he illegally brought an illegal weapon across state lines so he could go to a riot and kill people. So let's get this straight. Kyle Rittenhouse's father lives in Kenosha. His aunt lives in Kenosha. His sister lives in Kenosha. His best friend lives in Kenosha. He worked in Kenosha as a lifeguard. He thought of Kenosha as his home. So it's not like he drove across state lines to go start a battle somewhere where he had no connection to anything or anyone. He was totally connected. Let's start there. He left his firearm in Kenosha. That's where he got it from. He didn't bring it across any state line to go there. And he actually was trying to help out, because for some reason, the police in Kenosha, our all-powerful government, were told to stand down and let these people burn and destroy the city. That's right. They were allowing rioters to burn and destroy an entire city. And so a good kid that grew up saying that I love this city and I care about these businesses, I'd like to do something to help, he went and got in over his head. He went to help. There's pictures of him painting out graffiti and helping working during the day and then going to stand guard at a car lot, which the owner of the car lot, who doesn't want to get in any trouble at all, says, I had nothing to do with that. I didn't want you there. I didn't want anybody there. I didn't ask for anybody. I would have just let him burn my place to the ground and tear up all my cars. But in any case, this kid went there to do that. And if you watch the videos, if you listen to the testimony, there is no doubt that what happened is he got into trouble. And he, in self-defense, defended himself. I think that he'll be found not guilty. But I think if it's a hung jury, the only way it could be a hung jury is because the jury is afraid. Because we have all these public figures calling them out, promising to dox them, promising to come after them. How would you like to be a juror in a high-profile trial like this, where people are promising to come after you if you don't find the right verdict? And the right verdict is, find this person guilty, throw him in jail. Understand that two of the people that he shot and killed were felons. The first one that he killed was a sex offender who raped children. That's what he was in jail for. Who had said that he's going to brain him, cranium, kill him, that wanted him dead, that attacked him, tried to pull the gun out of his hands. You can watch the trial. You can watch. You can get the real story. But the story to me is this: two sides of it, that you have the left out there painting Kyle Rittenhouse, a good kid, a God-fearing kid, as an evil guy that should be thrown in jail. The politicians who say that we need to reform our police system so that no one's ever thrown in jail because it's unfair, say throw him in jail, lock him up, throw away the key. This shows that they really don't mean what they say. When they're talking about police reform, they're saying, listen, you people of color, we're here to help you. We want you to be able to do anything. And you see how that's working in California? Do you see how that's working everywhere? Where you say that you can do anything with no consequences. To see what's happening to the stores in the Bay Area, how they are closing down, they can't stay open, because if you can steal $950 a day in California without going to jail, how can these businesses survive? This is why I say socialism is evil. Socialism is the concept that the government is in control, that the government is your God, and that there is no God except the government. It creates winners and losers all on its own. They say capitalism creates winners and losers, but capitalism does not do it like socialism does. Capitalism says that if you start equal and you have the right, you work hard, that you can change your class in life. You can go from poor, you can come here from another country, and you can become successful. Socialism says we're going to take that money away from you and give it to somebody else who didn't work for it. And as I've said many times, people who don't work for things and who are given things don't appreciate it, and they lose their own self-respect. And then pretty soon they do fall into despair. We're also going to talk in today's show about this ridiculous corona vaccine mandate for children. Again, I'm really upset about that. I think that that's the craziest thing I've ever heard, that it's a mandate that five-year-olds get a vaccine. And we'll talk about that in another segment today. But that's my rant, is how are we divided? We're divided because the press is lying to us constantly. And they may not even be lying. They may be so stupid that they no longer research things and know what's actually going on. But I think that a lot of it's on purpose. I watched a lot of, again, the coverage of the Kyle Rittenhouse trial. I watched different stations that were on, and they tried to get their experts to come on to their side. And some of the experts just wouldn't fall for it, just wouldn't say this is exactly the way it is, the way the left wanted them to. They said, no, 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 wait a minute, what the judge did might be right. You know, the fact that the kid remained silent, his constitutional right, and that the prosecution tried to use that against him, you know, maybe that is the prosecution crossing the line. Again, next week we'll know how this trial turned out, what happened. But what it has shown us is that there is a great divide in the country, even more than we thought. That there's people that don't even care about the facts. Just like when we had the kids in the Catholic school children that were at the Capitol, that they went after them. I think we live in absolutely crazy times. And we see it in our real estate, too. We see it in our schools. And how it affects our real estate in the future will be part of what we're going to talk about later today. Because this socialist, communist concept of the government controlling everything, the government controlling your money, the government controlling the credit reports, the government picking the winners and the losers, this is what we were seeing under the Obama administration. The Trump administration stopped it briefly for 4 years, and now it's come back on steroids under the Biden residency. And again, he is resident Biden. If you listen to him talk, you know that this poor old man needs to be home with his family. He needs to be living out his years, not as the leader of the free world, because he's not capable of being the leader of the free world. He's not mentally capable. He's not physically capable at this point in his life. And we all have to wonder who's really running our government. And I find it to be quite scary to see who's there and who's behind the scenes. And certainly Kamala Harris is not the person we want as president, which is probably the only reason they haven't started the 25th Amendment against him, is they're scared to death against Kamala as well. On Real Talk, we do talk real estate as well as public policy. And when we come back from the break, I'm going to talk a little bit about real estate, but I'm also going to talk some more about this vaccine mandate for children. And I'm bumping up against my first commercial break. You're listening to Real Talk on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400. Remember that Real Talk is the right side of real estate, where we talk all things real estate and public policy. We'll be right back after this short break. Gentlemen, if you want to be a hit with your wife, here's what my wife says when I ask her, honey, where do you want to go for dinner?
Can we go to Crawdaddy's? I love Crawdaddy's.
So I asked my wife, what is it that you like about Crawdaddy's?
Things I like about Crawdaddy's. I love downstairs where everybody seems like, I don't know, it's kind of like Cheers. And you walk in and you know half the people there. It's great. And you sit around the bar and you listen to live music. And it's just a really fabulous, entertaining evening. And to top it off, you've got really great food. If you want a little bit more romantic setting, you can go upstairs to the second floor. The staff is wonderful. It's just a cool place to hang out. There's nothing else like it in Visalia.
Be sure to take your wife to Crawdaddy's at 333 East Main Street, Visalia. And remember,
kids love
My number one phone call at the office is from borrowers who have been made an offer for a mortgage loan that sounds just too good to be true. My recommendation is don't be fooled by out-of-town lenders or lenders with unrealistic offers. Use somebody you can trust. I trust Jeremy Engel with Vero Mortgage. Vero Mortgage has offices in Visalia, Fresno, and San Luis Obispo, and they have in-house underwriting. They can do FHA loans, VA loans, USDA loans, and conventional loans. Jeremy will give you a reasonable expectation to help you with your next purchase or refinance of your existing home loan. You can reach Jeremy at 559-734-5000 or on the web at jeremyengel.com. Vero Mortgage is a division of Country Club Mortgage, NMLS number 244-800. And once again, another important public service announcement from our comedian J.P. Sears about the importance of always wearing a life jacket, whether you're swimming or not.
What are you doing?
Here to do a little swimming.
You gotta wear a life jacket or else you can't come in.
No, I'm good. Thank you, though.
Life jackets are mandatory.
Mandatory to wear a life jacket when you swim?
And when you're not swimming, too.
Why?
Cases of people getting wet are going through the roof. It's a scary time.
I've had swimming lessons.
Oh, swimming lessons? You think those exist? So what, you just think your body has this natural ability to traverse through water in a way that keeps your head up so you can still breathe?
Yeah, it's called swimming.
Never heard of it. Flotation devices are backed by science. You don't believe in science?
I do, it's just, I know how to swim.
You're kind of being racist right now.
This has been a public service announcement.
Welcome back to Real Talk with your host, Brad Maskey. If you have questions for Brad, send an email to realtalkbrad@gmail.com.
Welcome back, California comrades. You are listening to Brad Maskey on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400. And you can also reach me at 559-732-4444. Real Talk is the right side of real estate. If you missed part of today's show and all of my shows are available at realtalkbrad.com. Welcome back, California comrades. Before the break, we were talking about how crazy our society is becoming, how the socialism, which I think is satanic, is overtaking not only the state of California, which is why I call you California comrades, but it's taking over the nation under the Biden administration, although we're seeing some people start to fight back. Certainly the red states are, if not California. But this has been a very strange week. And remember that when these lockdowns started, they were for 15 days, these emergency health orders for the COVID, that we're going to just stop the spread for 15 days. We're going to give the hospitals a chance to catch back up and so on. But once the government has taken emergency power controls, once a governor can dictate by fiat, doesn't have to go through the legislature, they don't ever want to give it up. And so Newsom, in his reluctance to give up his power, has again increased his time that he can keep us under full and control, full and complete control of the government, because he announced this week that the emergency powers would continue until March 31st of 2022. That's right, the COVID is not over yet, so he's still going to be in charge. He's still going to reserve the right to lock your businesses back down if he wants to, the rights to mandate vaccines, all of those things, he's kept those rights. So a funny thing happened in the last week or so, though. Newsom disappeared for a while. No one saw him publicly. He wasn't anywhere, and there was a lot of rumors about what was going on, because right after he got his booster shot is when he disappeared. He was supposed to be going to the climate summit in Glasgow, Scotland. Yes, Glasgow is how I'm now going to pronounce it, because I heard Janet Yellen, who is in charge of all of our economy, she's head of our banking in the Federal Reserve, Janet Yellen, many times in her speech at the climate summit, called it Glasgow. So it must be Glasgow if she says it is. And resident Biden wouldn't know the difference anyway. Anyway, Newsom was supposed to go there to promote how wonderful California is, how we are the first state to really adopt all these policies. We're the leaders in the world in reducing our carbon footprint. We're the leaders in the world in the highest electricity prices, the highest energy prices, gas prices. Oh, wait, that's not the part he wanted to brag about. But anyway, he suddenly said he's not going to go. Newsom disappeared for about 12 days. And some people said maybe he had a reaction to the vaccine, the booster that he took, and there were other rumors out there. But finally, Newsom said, I'm going to end all the rumors. I'm going to talk to you, because he spoke last week and he said, this is what really happened. He said, you know, the most important holiday that we have all year is Halloween. And I was going to be gone for Halloween. And so my children said to me, Daddy, you can't leave on Halloween. You have to spend Halloween with us, because it's our favorite holiday. And so Newsom disappeared for more than a week so that he could spend Halloween with his children. Now, if that doesn't just add to the speculation, the rumors, if you've read about the New World Order, and if you haven't, you're under a rock. New World Order is that there's a group of elites, including George Soros. They include the Feinsteins, the Pelosis, the families that control California. They're part of this New World Order elites that want to rule the world. We also are told, and we see from evidence, that these people are devil worshippers. That's right. They worship the devil. They believe that Satan is very good. And I won't go into all of that right now, but I want you to think about that. So if you're out there and you've heard the story that the New World Order is a Satan worshiping organization, you have the families that are the leaders of California that control everything that we do in it, that appointed and helped to bring Newsom in as governor, and he cannot be seen for a week or 10 or 12 days because his family's most important holiday of the year is Halloween, what are you supposed to think? Are you allowed to think that maybe they're Satan worshipers? I'm not saying they are. I know that Halloween is the Satan worshipers' favorite holiday of the year. And I'm not saying that that's where Newsom is, but it sure, their actions sure are like they are Satan worshipers. That's the leaders who are taking us to socialism, who are taking over everything. So we are going to talk today about when you should refinance, why you should refinance, what's going on with interest rates, about what happens with this $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, and are they going to pass another $4 trillion infrastructure bill? But again, I have to give my 2 cents worth on this vaccination of children. I have to put some information in, because you're not allowed to do this on the internet anymore. It's pulled from Facebook. It's pulled from YouTube. Anytime that you put factual information out there, everyone pulls it. So I'll just give you some local information. In Visalia, our hospital is overwhelmed with patients. And the headline is COVID patients are overwhelming the hospital, but the COVID patients are less than a third of the patients who are there. So they're not the ones overwhelming it. If it wasn't COVID, it might be the flu. And the city of Visalia, we've had to, at Cahuilla Delta, or Cahuilla Health as they now call themselves, we've had to have additional nurses sent in by the state to help us, because we are overwhelmed with the health situation. But is this health situation children? Is that what's killing our system? Is it children who are under the age of 19 who are wiping out our system? And the answer is no, it is not children who are under that age. So let me give you the rationale between and how they approved the vaccine, which is really not a vaccine, it's a flu shot, because we know it's not effective after a short period of time. We know it doesn't stop the variants. It's a flu shot, but they're going to call it a vaccine. But how did they approve it for children? How did they say that these 5 to 11-year-olds, it's safe for them and they should take it because it's going to protect them against getting COVID or from getting sick with COVID? Here's what their test results were. On children from 5 to 11, they found that 90% of the people in their test that got COVID, who were 5 to 11, who had had the vaccine, that 90% of them were basically asymptomatic and weren't very sick and definitely didn't have to go to the hospital. Therefore, they say it's 90% effective in helping these children to not go to the hospital. So what are the real numbers about children 5 to 11? I mean, how many of them actually get COVID anyway? How many of them have to get hospitalized with COVID before they had the vaccine? I can give you the simple numbers for Tulare County. In Tulare County, the population that's under 18, 19 and under, represents 20% of the population. And they also represent 20% of the people who have gotten COVID. Of that, though, they only represent 2% of the people that have had to be hospitalized. Okay, so let's run those numbers. They represent 2% of the population that got COVID, but only 2% of those who had to be hospitalized, which tells us that 90% of the kids 19 and under do not go to the hospital when they get COVID. 10% do, okay? Now, what were the numbers from the vaccine showing that it's effective? 90% of the people that got the vaccine that got COVID didn't go to the hospital. And they're using that to say why you should give your 5 to 11-year-old a vaccine that does have side effects, that can make them sick, that can hurt their hearts, that can kill some of these kids. So you take kids that are basically already immune to COVID and you stop them from developing a natural immune response to it. That's right. When you have COVID, your body builds up its own defenses so that you have natural immunity from previous infection. And why would you give them a vaccine when they don't even need it because they're already developing that natural immunity from previous infection? I think it's criminal to give them something that could risk their lives. And it may be a small risk, but it is a risk of their lives to protect them from a virus that is also a very, very small risk and may even be a smaller risk than the risk of the side effects of the vaccine that they're giving them. I think it's criminal. I think it's satanic. I think it's part of getting control over you and everything you do in your life. And I think that's what they're trying to do. And I'm going to fight it. I'm going to fight it as long as I can. My grandchildren will not get the vaccine. They've all already had COVID. They were asymptomatic. It didn't bother them at all. And I believe that that's the way that most children who get COVID will react. So we've got a lot more to talk about on today's show. We're going to talk about the School of Choice initiative that may help us with some of these vaccine mandates. We're going to talk about what's going on with inflation and real estate prices. And we're going to talk about all the things that affect you and your real estate. But I'm bumping up against my next commercial break. This is Real Talk on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400. This is a special public service announcement from JP about how you too can make a difference in the fight against COVID.
I always wear a mask in my car because my grandfather fought in World War II and I'm trying to be just as brave. And now anytime I'm in my car, I also wear a condom because I don't want to get STDs either. And it works on the same medical premise. I think it takes a courageous individual to boldly wear a mask while they're in their car by themselves. It's a pretty rare trait. We're like the Navy SEALs of the roadways. We're pretty elite. That's why you don't see very many of us. When people see me drive by in my mask, I know what they're thinking. Thank you for your service to our country.
This has been a public service announcement. Please help support one of our key sponsors, my good friend Keith Korsgaden, with Crawdaddy's Visalia. Crawdaddy's menu is reasonably priced and includes all kinds of food. Everything from mac and cheese for your kids to a perfectly prepared steak or a huge mouth-watering lobster tail. Crawdaddy's has the best clam chowder this side of Pismo Beach. And they have daily specials at lunch and dinner, like chili verde spare ribs or one of my favorites, Bayou Butter Prawns. But don't forget, they also often have live entertainment. with a full bar and daily drink specials. Crawdaddy's Visalia are First Amendment supporters, and they're now open 6 days a week. So support your First Amendment rights and join me at Crawdaddy's at 333 East Main Street, Visalia. Or for reservations, you can call 559-625-5300. My number one phone call at the office is from borrowers who have been made an offer for a mortgage loan that sounds just too good to be true. My recommendation is don't be fooled by out-of-town lenders or lenders with unrealistic offers. Use somebody you can trust. I trust Jeremy Engel with Vero Mortgage. Vero Mortgage has offices in Visalia, Fresno, and San Luis Obispo, and they have in-house underwriting. They can do FHA loans, VA loans, USDA loans, and conventional loans. Jeremy will give you a reasonable expectation to help you with your next purchase or refinance of your existing home loan. You can reach Jeremy at 559-734-5000 or on the web at jeremyengel.com. Vero Mortgage is a division of Country Club Mortgage, NMLS number 244-800.
Welcome back to Real Talk with your host, Brad Maskey. If you have questions for Brad, send an email to realtalkbrad@gmail.com.
Welcome back, California comrades. You are listening to Real Talk on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400. And this is Brad Maskey. And Real Talk is where we talk all things real estate as well as public policy and how it affects you and your real estate. Remember, if you have questions about your real estate, property management, legal questions regarding your property, you can reach me at 559-732-4444. You can also send me an email at realtalkbrad@gmail.com, where I can answer your questions and maybe talk about them on air if they're of interest to you. The third segment of our show is generally about money. It's where we talk about finance, refinancing, and all of those things. And of course, we are going to talk a little bit today about refinancing your property. This is November, folks, and this has been the lowest interest rates we have seen in the history of interest rates this year. They rose a little bit, they've come back down a little bit, but lots of people out there have still not refinanced their mortgage. Why? I'm not certain. They don't like the paperwork. It is a little bit like going to a proctologist, I know. But let me tell you the reasons why you should be considering a refinance right now. And of course, my sponsor, Jeremy Engel with Vero Mortgage, is the person I would recommend you talk to if you have questions about it, and support our sponsors for the show. But let's talk about those interest rates. In the last 20 years, generally speaking, 18 out of the 20 years, in mid-December, we've seen the lowest interest rates we see all year. Will that happen this year? I don't know. But typically in mid-December, we see interest rates begin to decline just a little bit. Maybe it's because there's less demand for the money. Maybe the federal government, as they're all on holiday, and the state government are all on holiday, they don't spend so much. But if I look at the trend in mid-December, you typically see one of the lowest interest rates of the year. So if you've been thinking about refinancing, you have to know that it's not instantaneous. It doesn't take just 15 days. It can take longer. It can take, give me just one more piece of paper, and can you verify this? And give me one more piece of paper. But you should be considering refinancing right now. Here's some reasons why else you should refinance. With the increase in market values, the high change in the current market, the amount of inflation we've seen in real estate prices. When you bought your house, if you put 5% down or 6% down or 3% down in an FHA loan and you had a mortgage insurance premium, that mortgage insurance could be as much as 1.25% on top of the interest rate you're already paying. And with 35% increase in home values over the last 2 years, if you had bought a $250,000 house and now it's worth $280,000 or $300,000, you could refinance and get rid of that mortgage insurance premium. So if you had a 3.75% interest rate or a 3.5% interest rate on your loan, and at relatively low or no cost, you could refinance to, say, 3.25% or around 3%. You're not just saving the 0.5%. If you get rid of the mortgage insurance premium, you're saving another 1 to 1.25% off that loan. So what does that mean? That means on that $300,000 loan or the $250,000 loan, you're saving $2,500 to $3,000 a year on what you're paying for the mortgage. So you should certainly be looking at refinancing right now. And again, what's happened with home prices, what's going on in the market is that the market has continued to increase in value all through the year. COVID did not hold it back. It's still increasing. It's increasing because of a shortage of houses for sale on the market and because of the super cheap interest rates. And because of all the money that's flooding the market, these $1.2 trillion and the $2 trillion here, and the money that was given to you last year, giving all kinds of middle-class folks lots of cash that they didn't necessarily have to have, but giving them the ability to get into the housing market. So it's caused house prices to continue to rise. Will they rise again next year at the same rate? It would surprise me, because we're seeing sticker shock from the buyers. We're seeing people saying, wait a minute, I just can't do this anymore. You know, it's too much. And we're seeing sellers saying, wow, if my neighbor got $380,000 for their house, I want $420,000 for mine. And those things are happening in the market to naturally slow it back down. So the price of housing is getting out of the affordable range, even here in the Central Valley. And we're seeing the interest rates begin to rise a little bit. All of those are putting a little bit of brakes on that increase in house values. Who knows what will happen next year, but everyone's saying interest rates will go up. Every time they say that, that means they go down. I'd be a millionaire again, or a billionaire, if we could predict interest rates for sure. But I would look at that refinance or purchase right now while interest rates are good. I don't think it's a bad time to buy. Everyone's saying also, if you've read the news about Zillow, Zillow is this computer company that tells you what your home is worth, what it should rent for. They do statistical analysis of neighborhoods, and they, like other people, started buying houses at the beginning of this year and last year, and they were buying them to fix them, to flip them. And everyone's saying, oh my gosh, Zillow quit buying houses. They just stopped after buying more than 3,400 houses. They stopped buying houses. What's going on? Is that proof positive that this market is over? Even Zillow's algorithms show that you can't buy and flip a house anymore. Not necessarily. I do agree that it's harder to buy and flip a house in November than it would have been if you bought it in January. But what really happened with Zillow is they found out how hard it is to get contractors and workers to fix the houses so that they could fix them up so that they could sell them, even if they were only doing minor repairs. They found out that when you buy a house and you do something that requires a building permit, that sometimes it can take up to 8 months to get that building permit. It's not just flip the switch and walk down to the city or county and say, give me the permit, I'm going to do this. It depends on what you're doing to the property, and it's not unusual for that to take long periods of time. It should be. It should be criminal. I should be able to get a building permit in a week, not 3 weeks, not 6 weeks, not 8 weeks, not 8 months. But the truth is, in California, the regulatory burden that's put on everything stops you from being able to get those building permits. So not being able to get those building permits, so they can't just flip a switch and get a building permit. And they also can't just flip a switch and have workers on the job, because there's not enough contractors. So some of that is the reason that they shut it down. I know it doesn't look good for them. It looks like the market vastly stalled, but I don't think that that's the whole story. So I wanted to talk about that today, because I've had people call me and ask me about that. The other thing, again, I talked about it last week, is people said, if I refinance my house, can it be reassessed by the county assessor? And the answer is no, not in California. Refinancing your house will not change your property taxes. They'll stay at the same rate, even though your house is worth more. The other thing I said I was going to talk about in this segment was the high-speed rail. That's right. Is high-speed rail in California dead? It may be. Even the segment that we know is the choo-choo train to nowhere, it looks like the political will is starting to drop off to keep spending billions and billions of dollars on a high-speed rail that won't really be a high-speed rail. If you've listened to my show before, you know we've talked about this. They were never even prepared to electrify this first stage of the high-speed rail. It's going to be a diesel train running from somewhere near Bakersfield to somewhere near Merced. And they're talking about this as the most profitable, easiest to build segment of the high-speed rail. They're saying the demand will be so great that it'll just be incredible. All these people will want to ride from somewhere near Bakersfield to somewhere near Merced, and then they could ride a bus to another train station and ride to the Bay Area, and they'll come from all over the world to do it. Yeah, right. It was never going to be profitable. It was never going to be done at a reasonable cost. And that's why we should be leery of these infrastructure projects, these things that the government says we're going to do and it's going to be good for you, because we say it's going to be good for you. We promise you this high-speed rail will get cars off the road. Do you know that if it were 100% of capacity and it ran from Los Angeles to San Francisco, do you know what percentage of the vehicles it would have taken off the road? Less than 1%. Less than 1% of the cars would have come off the road. But oh my gosh, California did it. How wonderful for California that we spend $130 billion to get 1% of the cars off the road. Yeah, I think the legislature's losing their desire to do it. They're losing it because they don't like the valley anyway. And why should they spend $15 or $20 billion to build something in the valley that doesn't really benefit their constituents in the Bay Area? So you could think about it as if high-speed rail is all but dead. So we're going to talk again today in our next break. We're going to talk about the water initiative. We're going to talk about the school of choice initiative. I think it's important that we discuss those and what those mean to you. We're going to talk more about what our government is doing and how it affects you and your real estate. I am running up against my next commercial break. This is Brad Maskey, and you're listening to Real Talk on Power Talk, 96.7 and AM 1400. Real Talk is the right side of real estate. My number one phone call at the office is from borrowers who have been made an offer for a mortgage loan that sounds just too good to be true. My recommendation is don't be fooled by out-of-town lenders or lenders with unrealistic offers. Use somebody you can trust. I trust Jeremy Engel with Vero Mortgage. Vero Mortgage has offices in Visalia, Fresno, and San Luis Obispo, and they have in-house underwriting. They can do FHA loans, VA loans, USDA loans, and conventional loans. Jeremy will give you a reasonable expectation to help you with your next purchase or refinance of your existing home loan. You can reach Jeremy at 559-734-5000 or on the web at jeremyengel.com. Vero Mortgage is a division of Country Club Mortgage, NMLS number 244-800. Gentlemen, if you want to be a hit with your wife, here's what my wife says when I ask her, "Honey, where do you want to go for dinner?"
"Can we go to Crawdaddy's? I love Crawdaddy."
So I ask my wife, "What is it that you like about Crawdaddy's?"
"Things I like about Crawdaddy's. I love downstairs where everybody seems like, I don't know, it's kind of like Cheers. And you walk in and you know half the people there. It's great. And you sit around the bar and you listen to live music. And it's just a really fabulous, entertaining evening. And to top it off, you've got really great food. If you want a little bit more romantic setting, you can go upstairs to the second floor. The staff is wonderful. It's just a cool place to hang out. There's nothing else like it in Visalia."
Be sure to take your wife to Crawdaddy's at 333 East Main Street, Visalia. And remember,
kids love Crawdaddy's too!
This is an important community service announcement from comedian J.P. Sears about the importance of wearing a life jacket, whether you're swimming or not.
What are you doing?
Here to do a little swimming.
You gotta wear a life jacket or else you can't come in.
No, I'm good. Thank you, though.
Life jackets are mandatory.
Mandatory to wear a life jacket when you swim?
And when you're not swimming, too.
Why?
It's a scary time, just right now.
What?
Look how his life jacket is keeping him from drowning.
He's just standing in shallow water.
Put a life jacket on now. You're putting everyone at risk of drowning.
How am I putting everyone at risk?
Their life jackets won't work unless you have one on.
Does his life jacket work?
Yes, very well.
Then why would he need me to wear a life jacket when his life jacket already works?
We have to protect the protected swimmers from the unprotected swimmers.
But aren't they already protected?
Yes. Very. You gotta put one on or you can't go in.
This feels creepy.
This has been a public service announcement.
Welcome back to Real Talk with your host, Brad Maskey. If you have questions for Brad, send an email to realtalkbrad@gmail.com.
Welcome back, California comrades. You are listening to Brad Maskey on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400. And you can also reach me at 559-732-4444. Real Talk is the right side of real estate. If you missed part of today's show and all of my shows are available at realtalkbrad.com. And welcome back, California comrades, to our final segment of Real Talk this Saturday. Boy, these hours go by so fast. I can hardly get everything I want to say done in an hour. I do want to take a minute, though, and talk again about some of my sponsors. I certainly want to talk about Keith Korsgaden and Crawdaddy's. Crawdaddy's is truly a unique restaurant in Visalia. If you haven't been there, you should go. There's two stories. There's two separate floors. Downstairs is a little more party atmosphere. It has the bar, but there's a bar upstairs as well. It's where they have live music 6 nights a week. If you want to go in and listen to a little bit of music, different bands playing, including the Crawdads, which Keith Korsgaden is part of. And again, a very unique restaurant. Keith designed the building to look like New Orleans, and it does indeed, and it's a great addition to Visalia. But if you're thinking about doing something for the holidays, if you're thinking of a party, an anniversary, you want to have a small group or even a large group, keep Crawdaddy's in mind. And if you want to set something up, you would call Crawdaddy's at 559-625-5300. That's 530-625-5300, and ask for Dora to set up a party for your next group. They can do large groups, small groups. Certainly at the holidays, everything's getting crowded and everywhere, but they have a great choice of foods for you. They can set something up for you, and certainly keep them in mind for that. Also, J.P. Sears, our comedian, again, he makes fun of how stupid we are right now. What's going on? The stupidity of this vaccine mandate. Again, you have people all over the internet. You have famous people saying, anybody that won't get the vaccine is an idiot. You're trying to kill me. You're trying to kill my grandmother. You want to kill everyone, right? But if you've got the vaccine, aren't you protected? No, I'm not protected. Then why did you get the vaccine if you're not protected? Don't listen to me. You're just trying to kill me. That's how insane this has become. And again, the vaccine is not a vaccine. The vaccine is a flu shot. You're going to need a booster shot. California this week announced that anybody can get the booster shot. No hesitation, no matter when you had your last shot, no matter what age, you can go and get another shot, and then get another shot, and then get another shot, and then get another shot. Yeah, that's what it's going to become, because it's a flu shot. It is not a vaccine. A vaccine would prevent you from getting the disease or the virus. And I've talked about this before. It's a virus. It's not a disease. It's a flu. It's a very virulent flu. It kills people more than the flu, but it's going to change. It's going to mutate, and we're never going to have COVID zero. Again, if you look at Florida right now, remember the state that didn't do lockdowns like the rest of the United States? They did briefly, and they said, no, we're not going to do do this. The state that doesn't require masks, the state that allows people to free choice and to live and to run their businesses, the state that they've been called Neanderthals by resident Biden, they have the lowest or among the lowest transmission rate right now in the nation. And that's because it is a virus and it will ebb and flow. So again, California's locked down, but are we doing better than the rest of the nation? No, we're not. We're right in the middle in terms of our infection and death rate. So all these lockdowns, all of this harm to your business didn't really do that much good. That's why as California citizens, we have to start to take back our government. We have to become aware. As I've said, I believe that socialism is satanic, and I believe that they do worship the devil. It would not surprise me at all if they're meeting in rooms and praying to Satan to give them power, because that's how they act in their desire to control everything in your life. And everything that they control is destroyed. California is a beautiful state. It's a wonderful state with all kinds of resources. I love the weather here, even though I live in the San Joaquin Valley, which is very hot. I love that I could go to the ocean. I love that I can go to the mountains, but I don't love how our government is taking care of it. We're staying here to fight. So again, I've talked about the water initiative that's about to come out. It's before the Secretary of State right now, and we'll be out so we can start gathering signatures in the very near future. And my goal is in Tulare County to get at least 30,000 signatures on that initiative. We're going to need at least 1.5 million good signatures, meaning we need to collect 2 million signatures. And once the name is given and it's approved by the Secretary of State, we have 6 months to do that. But let me explain again what this initiative does. The Water Initiative says that of the state budget, 2% of it must be used to create more water storage. That's right, the $30 billion in water bonds we've done so far have not created any new water storage. California has grown to a population of almost 40 million people without building any new water storage since the early 70s. Every time we pass a bond that's supposed to create water storage, they put poison language in it that says that if new water storage is created, it must first go to the environment before it can go to the people in the farms that need it. This initiative says, no, we must create 5 million acre feet of new water storage. We must devote 2% of our budget to it. It will allow water, it's no new tax, but allow already approved water projects to be built to create water storage. And it says that that water will go to the people and that water will go to the farms. It is not environmental water. It's water storage. So when California has wet rain years, when we have rain in the winter, we can save it for the summer. We can save it for drought years. And once we have that 5 million acre feet of new water storage, then this initiative sunsets. So again, I'm going to be pushing it. I'm going to tell you where it is. We're going to get signatures in Tulare County. We already have another initiative out, and we're calling it School of Choice. The School of Choice initiative is how you can take back your child's education, regardless of your political party, regardless of your color of skin. I don't know a single parent or grandparent that doesn't want to control the education their children are getting. And what this initiative does, it also is a constitutional amendment. It says that in California, from K through 12, if you have a child that age, there's an education savings account set up in your child's name. It's equal to the Proposition 98 money, which right now is between $12,000 and $14,000 per year, and it's allocated to the child. So if the child goes to the public school in the school district where they live, that money will go to the state, and they can use it to educate your child. But if you choose to put them in a private school, and I think it'll create a lot new private schools and a lot more choices, you can use that $12,000 to $14,000 per year to put your child into the private school of your choice, as long as they're accredited. That's right, you can put them in the school of your choice. You can't pay yourself to teach your children for homeschooling, but if a teacher was hired and it's an accredited school, you could pay the teacher to do that. If you don't spend all of the money, it stays in the savings account for the child so that the child has some money to go to college after they get out of high school. Again, both of those initiatives would make major changes in California. California probably spends more per student than any other state in the union, and we have the worst education system in the union. We do. We're at the very bottom of how our children perform. And of course, if you listen to the socialist communists that run the state and that are now taking over the nation, they claim that all of this is caused by these evil white people, right? The evil white people are racist, and they're discriminating against people of color, and that's why our schools are so bad. They don't take any blame for what they do. Remember, too, that this global climate change is now being also called racism, just like the infrastructure bill which passed. They want to use the infrastructure bill to tear down highways, to take out highways. Because did you know that highways are racist, too? I didn't know that, but highways are racist. The LA Times is doing a study on how racist it is to build transportation systems that work for everybody, because generally when they go through and build their roads and highways, they go into poorer areas because it's cheaper to buy the property, or there's less buildings to tear down, and that's because of racism. That's right. Everything is racism now, and we have to fight back against that. I've talked on the show about how they want to create a government credit bureau that tells you what your credit is, and they're strong believers that our credit system is racist right now, and we have to change even our credit system and let the government control it completely, so that if you're a different skin color, you would get first priority in any loan over anyone else. Yes, that's how insane our system is becoming, and we need to fight back. We need to start taking California back. We can do it with these two initiatives. We need to be informed. We need to go to school board meetings. We need to find out what's going on in California, and we need to take it back. And once again, this hour has flown by. I'll be back again next week on Power Talk 96.7 and AM 1400. Talk is sponsored by Realty Stars, California Department of Real Estate, license number 00903526. Real Talk is a Brad Maskey production.